Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hi, this is Gita Gash. I'm the bass player from Judas Priestess, and I'm listening to Talking Metal.
Hey, you. This is Militia Vox, lead singer of Judas Priestess. Thank you for listening to Talking Metal, just like I am. Ha ha.
Welcome to another edition of the Talking Metal Podcast, home of all things hard rock and heavy metal. I'm Mark Striegel, host and producer of this show since 2005. Now, let's get things started with the Talking Metal theme song, written by Rob Halford, Metal Mike, and Roy Z.
Hey guys, welcome to another edition of Talking Metal. Today's guests are from the band Judas Priestess, Gita Gash, and Militia Vox checking in with us. And Judas Priestess, if you don't know, is an all-female cover band of the great Judas Priest. And they're really so much more than that. And the girls will explain some of what I mean by that during the interview. So stay tuned for that. Militia's been on the show a ton of times. She's always so much fun. So glad to have her checking in with us tonight. And they're a part of this carnival, which I'm just really psyched for. I'm trying to get out there for most of it. I have some tickets in the city for something one of the days. So trying to work everything out. But I will definitely be there for some, if not all of it. It is the Food Truck and Rock Carnival 2015. I mean, listen to this lineup, guys. Godsmack, Slash, Stone Temple Pilots, 3 Days Grace, Black Label Society, Clutch, Anthrax, Skillet, Puddle of Mud, Skid Row, Seven Dust, Lita Ford, Slaughter, LA Guns, Crobot, Stephen Percy from Rat fame, Faster Pussycat, Like a Storm, Gilby Clark, known for his great work with Guns N' Roses, otherwise King's X, Kix, T.T. Quick, Prophet, Edgar Casey, two old school Jersey bands, and a Q&A with Eddie Trunk. This is just going to be an amazing weekend. Judas Priestess kicks the whole thing off Friday night at 7 o'clock. I think Don Jameson is also part of that kickoff. Doing some comedy or something. So good stuff. I cannot wait for this weekend. And I'm just blown away. This is happening right near my house in New Jersey. Usually I feel like these places are, you know, and you got to go to Montreal or Germany or, you know, even Ohio or out west somewhere. No, this is happening right here, right outside of New York City in Clark, New Jersey. So much fun. And we will have links up to the Food Truck and Rock Carnival website. Book your hotel rooms now, guys. I mean, this is an event that's worth traveling for, in my opinion. Having said that, we got two ladies on the show today who pay just a great tribute to the classic band Judas Priest, one of my favorites. Let's get into one of my favorite Priest songs off of the Sad Wings of Destiny record. This is the opening track, Victim of Changes.
she was wonderful.
When she was fine.
When she was beautiful.
When she was mine.
Judas Priest going way back, way, way back. 1975. That was released in, actually recorded in 1975. I believe released in 1976. Yeah, crazy, man. Almost 40 years old, really. Yeah, Sad Wings of Destiny, 40 years old. Recorded 40 years ago this November, released 40 years ago next year, 2016. Crazy stuff. And, that is a song that you will find in Judas Priestess's set list, I think most of the time. So be sure to get to the Food Truck and Rock Carnival for Judas Priestess. It's going to be a lot of fun, guys. And on that note, I think we should probably get into a little interview with the girls right now on Talking Metal. This is a great listen. They're always a lot of fun. Here we go. Little Judas Priestess joining me on Talking Metal. Cool. Hey, it's Mark Striegel from Talking Metal, and checking in with us on the line, we have two of the members of Judas Priestess, Gita and Militia. How are you guys?
Great. Doing great. Thanks, Mark.
Guys, I'm so psyched because you're going to be playing at this carnival, which actually is not too far from my house. It's the Food Truck and Rock Carnival. And this is a massive deal for the state of New Jersey and just the rock scene in general. There are so many great bands, which we will discuss. But you guys essentially are starting off this whole carnival, right? Are you the first band to play on Friday night?
Yeah, you know what they say, ladies first.
Right on.
And we happen to be the only all-girl band on the bill. And it's a three-day festival with a ton of bands, great bands, but we're very proud to say that we are the only all-female band and metal band, all-female metal band.
Oh, yeah. We're the only all-female band and all-female metal band. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, the lineup is just insane, you know, from Slaughter to Pop Evil to Lita Ford to Puddle of Mud, Anthrax. I'm excited to see Anthrax play. Black Label Society, Stone Temple Pilots, Godsmack, Slash, just so many great acts, and you guys will be starting it off. What can the New Jersey metalheads expect with Judas Priestess? Let's say you're playing to some people who, I know you guys have been around for a long time, you've been doing it a long time, but what could a new person in the audience who's never seen you guys before expect? We're talking just straight ahead Judas Priest stuff, right?
Well, yeah, obviously it's all Priest, but it's cool to see like an all-female take on Judas Priest, because I'd say like what we have to offer is just like hearing this new music through like a totally new vision. We definitely do something different than most tribute bands do. And I think that's something that's kind of like set us apart from the herd, is that we've definitely like taken this music and claimed it as our own in, to an extent, and put it through our own filter and put it back out with a lot of energy, a lot of attitude, a lot of femininity, but a lot of toughness as well. So considering that we've only been together for 5 years, we've been able to like really kick people in the head as far as tribute is concerned, or what their idea of tribute is. Yeah, so that's pretty cool.
I have to say, you know, I'm the bass player and co-founder of the band, but I want to say that I'm proud to be playing with these ladies. We have some real top-notch players. The two guitarists are fantastic, as is the drummer. So we really deliver the goods when it comes to Judas Priest music. And it's just a great, great band. And what tops it off and puts a great spin on it is our vocalist, our lead singer, Melisha. Because not only does she have a 5-octave range, like Rob Halford himself, the metal god, but she also has her own unique style that is so sexy and soulful that it just puts a whole new spin on Priest. So a lot of diehard Priest fans just appreciate that and love us for that.
Oh, thank you, Gita. That was so sweet, welcome. Gita. My goodness.
Now give me that $20. No,
I swear I don't pay her to say that. I swear. But that's what people can expect, and I think that's what surprises a lot of people about seeing the band when they see the band for the first time, is like, A, how much fun the band is, and B, and how exciting it is that we're giving them this music that they know and love, but we're delivering it in such a way that it's like, it's just like totally reimagined, but with like this feminine edge to it. It's really exciting.
Cool. Now, you mentioned the band has been together 5 years plus at this point. Can you take us back to the early stages of putting this whole thing together? How did it actually all come together?
Well, the legend has it that I was in another tribute band, and I played on a bill with someone in another tribute, nameless tribute bands,
right,
New York City tribute bands, and we got together because we were both metalheads, and we wanted to start something new, and the other person wanted to do Judas Priest, and I wanted to do Black Sabbath. Okay, because I'm a big Sabbath head, and Priest won, and I stand corrected. I wasn't that big of a Judas. Don't kill me. Don't sue me. But I wasn't that big of a Judas Priest fan to the extent that I knew the volume of the catalog. So I'm so glad that we decided to do Priest, because it's not only like earth-shattering metal, but there's some real great like 70s blues-oriented Sabbath style songs from like the early era that I love playing. And basically, you know, the catalog is so various that it satisfies all needs musically.
It really is a diverse catalog when you think about it. I mean, you go back to even Sad Wings of Destiny that has like hints of progressive rock at times, you know, to the stuff they did in the 80s, which is just really all over the map as far as like that 80s metal sound goes. It's just really incredible how much diversity they have had through the years. As fans of the band, what you know, individually, what are some of your favorite eras of Judas Priest?
We tend to gravitate towards the older catalog of Priest, just because, well, at least for me, that's the stuff that got me hooked. Like, I forever will love and worship British Steel, because that was my first Priest album ever. I tell people the story all the time of, like, you remember Columbia House?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. Remember Columbia House? You could, like, you know, give them a penny for like 10 CDs or something like that. So I was ordering CDs through Columbia House, and you know, they show like the album cover and then the name and then like the number of the CD, and you'd put it on a like a list or whatever and get your 10 CDs for a penny, which I swear to God, they went under because nobody paid them more than a penny.
Yeah.
So when I was looking for 10 CDs one time, and I was like, oh, like just going through the catalog, I saw the British Steel cover. And I was like, whoa. I was like, that's the coolest cover I've ever seen in my life. You know? And then the name, the band name, I was just like, wow, that's the coolest band name I've ever heard in my life. And I was like, okay, I've got to get that CD. So I really knew nothing about them. I just kind of, like, heard the name. I really didn't know anything about them. And it was like, you know, it's like 1990, whatever it was. Right. And I ordered the CD. And I vividly remember putting the CD on and hearing Rapid Fire.
Wow.
For the first time and being like, I don't know. I felt like my world changed. I just felt like, I don't know, I just felt like I needed to know everything about this band. Like, I just felt like I needed this band in my life. And from that moment, I was just instantaneously hooked because they just had this phenomenal way of doing so many things that were appealing to me that I had never heard anyone else do. It was like, the music was heavy, but it nearly seemed classically based.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, and like, I was a classical pianist, so for me, it was like, I was like, oh, wow, it's like heavy, aggressive classical music. Yeah. And then the vocals were like theatrical, but not like in a cheesy way. It was like in a legit cool way. And the lyrics were damn near Shakespearean. So to me, it was like, it just like covered all the bases of like this amazingly, impossibly amazing, like it just doesn't happen in other, I don't know, they've mastered the art of combining all these things and still pulling it off in a legit cool way. Mm-hmm. So that was like, that was my moment. That was my life changing Priest moment.
Right on. Gita, what about you? What are your favorite eras of Priest?
Well, it's funny you mentioned Rapid Fire. That was my, besides the obvious hits that you've heard, you know, from the radio growing up, like, Living After Midnight and You Got Another Thing Coming. I had recorded Rapid Fire with Angel Rod.
You never told me that.
Yes, wow. Yes, I played it for you. Well,
you
yes.
never told me that.
Yes, we did.
Oh my God, do you hear what's going on right now? She's telling you stuff she hasn't even told me. Wow.
It's metal. I was in this band with ex-White Zombie guitarist Tom Five. We were in a doom metal band, and we were asked to do some recording for like a metal compilation, and the song that we picked was Rapid Fire.
So oh,
we
you record- tell me this.
Yes,
okay.
We recorded right,
sorry.
That.
I was jumping off.
Yes,
I was jumping off the handle, but yes, she did tell me that. I do want a copy of that.
Oh my God, it's really crazy. Real, yeah. It's really okay. So I loved it.
Do you
I
have mean, it here?
Yes,
or I
have
I want
it somewhere.
It.
Which
all right.
You're getting off topic, oh, please. So anyway, so having sunk my fingers into that one, that gave me the bug.
Right on.
But you know, I'm not. You know, at that point, I wasn't like an album buying person. I was more like, I don't know. I more recently, when we started the band, got very inspired by some of the stuff off of Rockarola. Even though I love
later
stuff, some of my favorite songs mm-hmm. are later, but there's some, like I mentioned before, Sabbath style, slow yeah. mid-tempo stuff that is so tasty.
Yeah, you know, like 70s groove stuff.
70s
yeah.
groove.
And how does the crowd react when you do a song off of that record, which, you know, in all honesty, wasn't a real popular Judas Priest record as far as their catalog goes?
Well, funny you should ask, Mark. A few years ago, we happened to get a gig opening up for one of my favorite all-time bands, Pentagram.
Right on.
And it was interesting because it was a doom lineup. So I was...
Now, when you say we, you mean Judas Priestess, or was this with Angel Rod? Or
sorry. Yes, Judas Priestess opened up for Pentagram.
Cool.
And so I was a little concerned with how we would be taken, how we would be received by the crowd, being a tribute band, it's not original music, and, you know, people can be so lame about that. And it's not, you know, this of all the same type of music. So I listened to Rockarola, and there's this one song, Deep Freeze Winter, which is so damn doomy and downtuned and slow. And And it was just the perfect thing to bring to that audience. And we played that song and we segued it into Dissident Aggressor. Nice. And we broke out that song. The crowd went wild.
Really?
We won them over. People were like jumping, crowd surfing, climbing over each other. They were just, they couldn't believe it. They were losing their minds that we would play that song. So it became a favorite of Vine, and we keep it in the set. It's a big crowd pleaser.
Yeah. And it's not something that Priest has ever done. I mean, they've never played Deep Freeze Winter live, and they definitely don't segue any of the older material into Dissident.
Right, right. Cool.
You know, so that's the thing about, you know, this tribute band is that we take a lot of liberties as far as, you know, how we put the set list together, song selections, how we even interpret the music. I mean, we're not afraid to add or change or alter music parts to make it sound heavier, to make it sound sexier, to make it sound, you know, more aggressive. I mean, you know, we really do our best to reinterpret the music and not be imitators, per se.
Right on, right on. And, you know, we mentioned that there are obviously, you know, two guitar players and a drummer in addition to you two guys. Can you run down who those people actually are?
Sure thing. Shout out to those girls right now. We're lucky to have Josette on guitar. She's been with us for about 3 years now, right? Mm-hmm. And she's a killer guitarist. We're so lucky to have her, as well as Raina Sands on guitar, who you guys might remember from Mean Streak. She was a pioneering metal musician and is still in her own right. And Hillary Blaze on the drums, imported from Boston, Massachusetts. Used to play in a band called Jaded that a lot of people might know her from. And we are also lucky to have her to set our drums on fire. So, yeah, it's a great lineup. And you know what? All of us feel very lucky and relieved in a lot of ways to find each other.
Right on it.
It's always challenging to find girls that want to play Painkiller.
There you go.
Yeah, well, I have to say a little bit more about our bandmates. Josette is an ace shredder. Mm-hmm. I mean, this girl was playing metal guitar from
like
the 16? Time she could walk.
Yeah.
She's a teenage metal rock star. Her first band, she was produced by Eric Carr from Kiss.
Wow.
So she knows this music inside out. She's listened to it since she was in
diapers.
I was going to say something else, but yeah, okay, those. And then Raina Sands, she's iconic herself. She was in one of the first female metal bands in the 80s, Mean Streak. And they used to play at Lemoore's. And people will come to our shows with Mean Streak albums to have her sign them. Because,
really? Wow.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, she's totally well known. And I know I'm probably breaking her anonymity. What? Am I?
No, I was... Go ahead, no, say what you're going to say, and then I'll say what I'm going to say.
Okay, I was going to say, she is married to the legendary guitarist John Petrucci from Dream Theater.
Right, I was going to ask you about that. And he's actually jammed with you guys, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Tell us, so that was recent, right? Less than a year ago, I think.
Yep.
And how did that all, I mean, obviously it all came about through his wife, but how did it go? And where did it take place?
Oh, well, we played the show out at Revolution in Amityville, Long Island, not too far from where they live. They're Long Islanders, native Long Islanders. And we just figured it'd be like a good home show for them so they could invite like friends and loved ones that live in the area to come see Raina with us, but then also see John get up and play with us. And Raina, we had asked her what song she wanted to do, and she had picked Beyond the Realms of Death. So that was the first time we played that song. That was the premiere of that song with us. And John joined us for the second solo.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, it was really phenomenal. And
yeah.
He's just, I mean, he is everything that people know and love about him. He's just such a proficient player. And
well, they
he's
both
just
are.
Like,
they both,
both
are.
But that's what people don't realize is that she's just as badass as he is.
Right on.
When they met, they both had their bands and they were both playing at the same time. And he went on and they got married. They fell in love, got married. He went on to, you know, see out his career and become a great success. And she had children. She was a wife and mother, and they've got some grown children, and the whole family, every one of them is as talented, you know, they're performers. So it's an amazing family.
I seem to remember when I interviewed John, like earlier this year, him telling me that his son was going to Berklee College of Music, which is where he started Dream Theater. So that's amazing.
That's right.
Amazing stuff. That's
great.
So let's just briefly.
But also, a little extra to that. Our bass player, Geeta Gash, is a phenomenal bassist. And to me, like, I'm always amazed that, like, I don't know, I always tell her that she needs to write a book about her life because her stories are so amazing.
Yeah, Geeta, I mean, you have just a long history with the New York rock scene, correct?
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, a story that should be told, a story that needs to be told.
What are some of your favorite stories that she tells? And could you hear one?
No. We can't say that over media.
There are some good ones. We might have to meet in person over a drink for that.
Okay.
But let me tell you, when it's like just like a sea of like stories where you just go, damn it, I wish I was there. It's like a bunch of that.
Right on.
Yeah. It is just like, you know, the whole thing just like accumulates to, you know, her delivery and her performance and her proficiency on stage. And another thing that people don't understand is that, like, Geeta's punk rock, but her commitment to excellence as far as like being the whole package is like astounding. She's a rock star. She is the look, the sound, the delivery, the lifestyle, everything. More so than anyone that I know.
Gosh, thank you.
I'm saying that because now I'm sitting next to you. But it's true. When I first joined the band, I didn't even know. But then as like time like went on and we got to know each other and she would tell me these anecdotes and stories and things. And I was just like, wait a minute, what? You what? What? And she's like, yeah, you don't know about like my history. I didn't know anything. And then just, like, getting to know her, I just go, when's the movie coming out? Because I want to be at the premiere.
And, Melissa, I mean, you've done so much stuff, too, outside of Judas Priestess. A lot of it we've covered on past episodes of Talking Metal. But I quickly wanted to mention that I really dig the new single that you put out. We actually played it a few episodes ago, Vow. Is that something that's coming off a forthcoming record, or was that just a one-off single? What's the story behind that?
There is a forthcoming record. You know what it was that I was sitting on all this material, all this original material, and then finally I was like, oh, I'm going to release an album, you know, maybe at the end of the year or something like that, you know?
Right.
And there was all these changes happening in the country. All of a sudden it was like, you know, it was like gay marriage was like legal and like the Supreme Court ruled, and then like all these things going on with Ferguson and all these people like, you know, with protest march and like fighting for the rights and Black Lives Matter. It was really like a crazy and turned up and exciting. And like, I mean, the times were just like really, you remember that week where it just seemed like everything was happening in this country?
Yeah.
Like it just was like, it was like the first week of July. And I feel like as an artist, it is your responsibility to comment on, or at least be part of that changing times. And because of that, I was like, I have to release this now. So I released Vow on July 4th, like as a reaction to everything that was going on, because I just felt like it was appropriate.
Right on.
But yeah, all the music that's coming out is going to be part of an album called The Villainous, and it will be out later this year.
Great. Well, please keep us posted on that. And again, we are so psyched that you guys are a part of the Food Truck and Rock Carnival, which is coming to Oak Ridge Park in Clark, New Jersey, September 18th through the 20th. You guys play the 18th. Do you know what time you go on the 18th?
We're slated for 7 p.m.
Okay, cool. I think Don Jameson's doing some comedy that night, too. I'm not I think so. So that should be a great night.
The first day kickoff, they wanted us to kick off the carnival, so we're like, cool. There's some other great bands that are going on that night, and, you know, the food truck and carnival part will be in full effect as well. So, you know, bring the whole family.
Yeah. I mean, really, that they are billing it as something that you can bring the family to.
Yes.
And there's over 40 food trucks. There's, you know, carnival activities and shows and stuff going on. So, you know, definitely all weekend long, guys, show up to the event with your kids. And then if you want to send your kids home and come back for the rock at night, that's always a good idea. But it's going to be a blast. I'm psyched. And before I let you guys go, what's that?
Are you coming?
Yeah, I plan to be there, definitely for some, if not all of it, just trying to work out my schedule. But yes, I will be there.
Excellent. Awesome.
Now,
awesome.
You guys have a friendship, or I don't know, maybe that's too strong a word, you tell me, with K.K. Downing. How well do you guys know him?
Well, he interviewed us for his Steel Mill website. When we first put the band together, they noticed us right away, and they did a feature on us and posted pictures and a long interview, and it was just so overwhelmingly sweet that out of the blue they contacted us. So we were very honored by that.
Yeah, I wouldn't say, I mean, it's not a friendship.
I haven't heard from him lately, no.
Right.
But, I mean, you know, obviously we love him, like, immensely because of who he is and his, like, spirit and attitude and his, like, writing genius and all that he's created.
I mean, you know, I as a fan of the band, I know you guys, you know, follow the band and are fans too.
Sure.
I've kind of noticed this recent thing with him in interviews where, like, even when he was on That Metal Show recently, somebody said something, I think it was when he was on That Metal Show, about, oh, you're playing golf. And he was like really trying to distance himself from the, you know, I'm a retired guy playing golf lifestyle.
He might be missing it, you know?
Yeah, I kind of sensed that. And there was two separate interviews I heard from him where I kind of sensed that, you know, he was ready to make a return to metal. And
well, didn't he say something like that? Like, didn't he say publicly that he would return if they said the word?
I don't know. He may have.
Maybe that was just like a blabbermouth thing, but I remember, like, reading something like that.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be something if he came back and it was like three guitar players? I would love it.
Yeah, do the Maiden thing where they keep, you know, the Richie on and
yeah, like Foo Fighters did. They had Pap Smear came back, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
They could do it, you know. There's no rules. But yeah, like, that was cool. We actually have met and hung out with Richie as well, which was, like, awesome, and he was so amazing that it's just like, you know, I know some people feel some kind of way, like, that they have to choose sides,
right?
You know, but I don't think that exists anymore. It shouldn't exist, or people shouldn't feel some kind of way, because, you know, KK left by choice, from what I understand, so that was his choice.
Yeah, I was very impressed with Richie just on a personal level. You know, I interviewed him and Glenn, and it was like after the interview was over, Glenn shook my hand and took off, and Richie, like, hung out, and he was like, "Oh, your favorite Priest record is Defenders, mine too." And he was just like chatting, telling me about his girlfriend lives in Philly, and he was like, "So I was really impressed with how down to earth the guy is."
Yeah, well, he said that
he's a fan first.
Yeah,
and foremost.
He said that when we met him. He said he's a fan first.
Yeah,
you know, and he's like living the dream. But he said ultimately he's a fan first, and he's just very, like, realistic and loving, and he's just, like, loving life. And I mean, who wouldn't want to play with their idols? You know?
Oh, absolutely, so, absolutely.
Yeah, it's a dream come true.
Yeah,
you know? So it's really great.
Now, have you guys ever recorded as a band? Has Judas Priest ever gone into the studio and recorded?
We've recorded three songs from the catalog. We did Breaking the Law, You Got Another Thing Coming, and Heading Out to the Highway. We did, like, the hits, quote-unquote hits. But actually, we're looking to get back into the studio and record some of the heavier songs.
Yeah, I think that would be fun. And I mean, just hearing you talk about, what was the song you mentioned off of Rock and Rolla earlier, the sludgy song?
Deep Freeze.
Deep Freeze. I mean, that's like a record. I mean, I'm a Priest fan, but I honestly only know Sad Wings Onward. For you to do something like that and turn Priest fans on to Priest stuff they don't know about, I think could be a really exciting thing.
Well, if that should happen, Mark, you can't claim that it was your idea.
Okay. Sounds like there could already be something in the works.
I'm not saying yes, and I'm not saying no.
Okay. Very good. Cool. Well, guys, we will see you down at the carnival, the food truck and rock carnival, again in Clark, New Jersey, which is an easy drive from the New York area. And it's also, for our listeners down in the Philly area, it's pretty easy drive from down there too. So it's a real central location for everybody in the New York and New Jersey and Philly area. So guys, it's going to be a great night.
Oh, we can't wait. We're totally soaked. And we can't wait to see everybody there. Hopefully, we're supposed to do a meet and greet that night. So hopefully we can meet like some of the people that listen to your show or some of the people that maybe have never seen us before and like to say hi. We like to meet people that are into metal like we are and into Priest like we are.
Cool.
So definitely anyone who's listening, please connect with us on Facebook. And we're also
where's the best place? Facebook,
Instagram, Twitter. If you go to our website, there's links to all of that, www.judaspriestess.com.
Cool. And we'll link that through today's show notes on talkingmetal.com. And we will also link over to the food truck and rock carnival, where it's not just live music, guys. There's like pro wrestling, food truck competitions, amusement park rides. Eddie Trunk's going to be doing some kind of Q&A there too. So a lot of stuff going on there. It's going to be a blast. Guys, thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Mark.
All right. Right. Yeah. Be sure to catch Judas Priestess in Clark, New Jersey on September 18th. Militia, as I mentioned during the interview, has a single out. We played it a couple podcasts ago. Let's check a little bit out of it right now. You can buy the full version on iTunes. This is called Vow by Militia Vox, also known for her work with Judas Priestess. Full on iTunes, not the album, the song, the single, in full on iTunes. And thanks to the girls from Judas Priestess for joining us here on Talking Metal. KK Downing, by the way, has a fragrance out now called Metal for Men, which I almost bought. You know, I was like, not a big fragrance guy myself, but I used to not like cologne or fragrances at all, but now that I'm a little older, I've been putting it on here and there. I want to be the stinky old man, you know. And I actually was thinking, maybe I'll go buy it just for kicks. But it was when I checked, which was a while ago at this point, probably like back in April or something, it was quite expensive metal for men. It was like, I know some of these fragrances cost like $200 and stuff, but you know, for KK Downing's cologne, I wasn't really prepared to pay more than $30 or $40. And I believe it was more than that. And somebody told me the price has come down. So maybe I will go buy some metal for men. I don't know. I don't know if my wife would dig it that much, but yeah, you got to support KK. I love KK, and I would love to see him return in some form. You know, returning to Priest would be amazing, but even just doing a solo record or doing something would be a lot of fun. It'd be great to not just smell him with Metal for Men. It'd be nice to hear and see him again in the public eye. And KK, we miss you. We miss KK Downing. We definitely do. All right, so having said that, let's get into some more music. A lot of great bands coming to the stage in Clark, New Jersey, September 18th through September 20th. A lot of great, you know, I was a big glam metal, pop metal guy back in the 80s. I loved Venom, I loved Slayer. Actually, in the 80s, I didn't really love Slayer. I got into them a little after the fact, but I was big Megadeth guy, big Venom guy, big the Metallica guy. Was into Metallica before Ride the Lightning came out, which a lot of people don't believe, but I was. I bought Ride the Lightning the first day it came out when it was still on Megaforce before it was re-released 2 months later on Elektra. I was also just trying to give, you know, my true metal cred there before I tell you that I was really into the hard rock, the commercial hard rock, the commercial metal, glam metal. It was never called hair metal back in those days. We called it commercial metal or glam metal, and those are the terms I still like to use. Hair metal is a derogatory term invented by, you know, snob people in the media to kind of just group everybody from Badlands to Faster Pussycat to Slaughter to even Iron Maiden into one category. And hair metal is not a flattering term. I'm disappointed to see people like Martin Popoff using it, in a title of his book. I love Martin Popoff. No disrespect. I wouldn't have chosen to name a book hair metal. This is a terrible term, and even the people at Sirius, you know, Hair Nation, that's just a fucking joke, Hair Nation. Eddie Trunk has complained about it too, you know. Terrible name for a station, and it almost makes it jokey, you know, it makes it jokey. These were great bands. Faster Pussycat, Slaughter were great bands and great songwriters back in the 80s. You can actually see both those two bands at Food Truck and Rock Carnival. And having said that, I want to hear some Faster Pussycat. This is Poison Ivy, a classic by the great Faster Pussycat.
Please, I need some peace of mind.
Cool. We're rocking it here. King's X. Another band that will be at Clark, New Jersey's Food Truck and Rock Carnival coming up. Let's see. King's X plays at the carnival. What day do they play? I don't even know. Just go to all 3 days, guys. It's going to be so much fun. Yeah, okay, just looking at the website here. They're playing September 19th, King's X. Good stuff. And here's a little King's X.
I'm talking, talking, talking in my
Okay, that's going to do it for today's show, guys. A lot of music, another long episode. Thanks for sticking with me here. And show your support by using our Amazon links on talkingmetal.com. Go over to Amazon, make all your regular purchases that you were planning to make. But before you do that, just go to Talking Metal and use our link to open up Amazon. You don't pay anything more. There's no catches or hitches to using our links. It's just an additional step. Why the fuck Amazon would give us free money for having one person click through the link is beyond me. But they do it. And listen, I'm just trying to cover my costs here. So if you can help us out with a click through our Amazon link and then go buy diapers or, you know, the new Ghost record or whatever. Wow, the new Ghost record, guys, by the way, fucking awesome. Or whatever you need to buy. Go buy a new plasma HD TV, you know, for $2,000. That would be a great kickback. We'd probably get, like, you know, $20 back on that or something. Maybe more than that even. But, yeah, use our Amazon links. It's a great way to support Talking Metal. Also, write us a review on iTunes. I know a lot of you guys subscribe to the podcast through iTunes. Please write us a review there. And that should do it for today's episode. I appreciate you listening to me here on Talking Metal. This is Gotta Let Go by Lita Ford, another artist who will be at the Food Truck and Rock Carnival. See you guys.